Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Tuesday, August 20th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. A clinic in Juneau could be the latest casualty of cutbacks at the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium. The Front Street Clinic caters to homeless and low-income residents of Juneau. As Lisa Fu reports, staff at the search-run facility are fighting to keep the clinic open.
Up to 25 people a day visit Front Street Clinic to receive medical, dental, and behavioral health services. 59-year-old veteran Michael Needham is one of them. He's having impressions made for dentures.
They're very thorough with what they're doing, and I thank God every day for them.
Needham has been going to the clinic for 3 years and likes the way the staff treats him.
Like, I'm special right now. This is your time, you know, and that's just what it's all about. They don't get interrupted or nothing. It's a really cool way they do that.
Needham also has cancer.
See these things? These little red dots are all cancer spots, and I've been coming here for them.
Jana Brewster is Front Street Clinic manager and medical provider. She says the health condition of clinic patients range. Some of them are very ill with diabetes, high blood pressure, lung disorders, or cancer.
Without Front Street, undoubtedly some of these folks will die, because they're not going to have the day-to-day care that we can help them with.
Search Communications Director Michael Jenkins says the possibility of shutting the clinic down is based on federal budget cuts, including sequestration, as well as a reorganization of the Regional Health Consortium. 10% of Front Street patients are Alaska Native. They can go to searches at the Lund Medical Center if the clinic closes. Brewster doesn't know where the others will go.
We have a very small number of patients that do have full disability services. We'll be able to find other doctors in town that can take them. The largest portion will end up without medical care at all.
Dentist Ed Linzel has been practicing at the clinic for nearly all 10 years of its operation. He says Front Street staff members are determined to do what it takes to keep the clinic open.
I'm pretty outraged at how a whole population is going to be, they're on the street to begin with, but they're going to be thrown out even deeper.
The group of search employees has taken their fight to various people and organizations, including the Juneau Coalition on Housing and Homelessness. Dan Austin is a founding member.
We consider this to be the most important immediate issue for us, and so we will play whatever role we possibly can to keep Front Street Clinic open, whatever it takes.
Austin says closing the centrally located Front Street Clinic would take away more than just medical services.
It serves as one of the main portals in this community to link homeless people on the street to possible services that might be available to them to help make positive changes in their lives. It's a critical doorway for us.
Clinic manager Jana Brewster says it's her duty to tell the patients about Front Street's possible closure. As soon as patient James Bouchard heard, he immediately started a petition. Within a week, he already had 500 signatures.
I'm going to try and gather as many signatures as I can because, you know, not only me who's needed help, but people that require daily medications and stuff that won't be able to get it if the Front Street closes.
Search's Michael Jenkins says the board of directors will decide at an upcoming meeting whether Front Street Clinic stays open or shuts down. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
Sitka fire officials stopped short of evacuating residents along Halibut Point Road early Monday morning after a nearby fire sent smoke billowing towards neighborhoods. Assistant Fire Chief Al Stevens says the fire began at the end of Granite Creek Road, where three containers of asphalt were being heated on trailers for the use on Baranoff Street. One of the heaters fell off its bracket and landed near the tires of a trailer, which then caught fire. Stevens says officials were concerned about a big tank of diesel nearby. They contacted the airport, which sent its foam truck to help extinguish the blaze. Smoke billowed towards homes on Halibut Point Road, but the fire was put out before evacuations became necessary. Stephen says about 15 firefighters responded to the incident, which began just before 1:30 Monday morning. Firefighters were back at the station by 3 a.m. and on their way home about an hour later. The equipment that caught fire is owned by Aggregate Construction Incorporated. Representatives of ACI's Sitka's office could not immediately be reached for comment. It's unclear whether the fire will impact the repaving of Baranoff Street. Stevens with the fire department said the company was hopeful for some of the asphalt could be salvaged. but officials in the city's public works department also could not immediately be reached for comment. Baranoff Street runs alongside two Sitka schools, Baranoff Elementary and Pacific High School. Classes in both buildings are scheduled to begin next week. The town of Wrangell, once called the Sleeping Giant, has seen an awakening of its native culture and history. It began with the Shakes Tribal House rededication in May, and last month it hosted both a national traditional foods conference and a Tlingit basketball camp for kids. In early August, a group of people headed to the original Tlingit settlement, 25 miles from present-day Wrangell, for a language and culture camp. It was the first time Tlingit was spoken in Old Town in 65 years. KSTK's Shady Grove Oliver has the story.
19-year-old Sarah Williams Churchill is leading me into the middle of the forest.
You show no fear. Don't be afraid to walk into the berry patch and get it. Because that's where all the good ones are. It's deep in the middle, and you have to kind of fight for them.
We're surrounded by tall spruce trees, and we're doing what she does best, hunting for salmon berries.
But, it's the little things in life, and for me, it's berries.
She's one of about 15 people at a culture camp on southern Wrangell Island. The purpose is to perpetuate elders' traditional knowledge of Wrangell. Virginia Oliver is the camp coordinator.
Chateya, it's me, Virginia Oliver. Chateya, Chwantlenya, Chatduasak. I was born and raised in Wrangell.
Along with teaching about traditional foods and crafts, Oliver wants the camp to focus on language.
It's my dream to speak the language, to not let it die. I believe that the language is the foundation of our culture. It's who we are.
Oliver invited two elders to come and teach. Both are fluent speakers of Tlingit.
My name is Florence Mark Shakely.
My name is Ruth Demert, and I'm from Cake.
The first evening, the campers sit around in a circle and introduce themselves. Shakely says this is important, both linguistically and culturally.
And they have to find out for themselves what clan they are, what child they are, and who their grandparents are. And this is education for them. And after they learned all this, then they realize they do have a place in the community. They do belong somewhere. And this gives them pride.
Sarah Williams Churchill thinks her Tlingit name is Kwaksik, but she's not sure what it means or if she's even pronouncing it right. She got her name from her grandmother, the last Tlingit speaker in her family.
Yeah, I got my first and my middle name from her. I got her Tlingit name, and she meant a lot to me. I guess it's kind of like she passed away before we could figure it out.
So, for the last 10 years, she's been searching for the meaning of her name.
My mom tried, but she herself didn't know a lot of it because her mom grew up in the lost generation, and she partially did too, so...
The number of Tlingit language speakers plummeted in the 20th century. A 2000 UNESCO study estimated fewer than 300 fluent speakers left, and that was 13 years ago. Ruth Demert has seen the change.
I'm not too sure. I think you call it progress. In order to progress in the society nowadays, English was enforced, and along the way, people got lost and start just to speak English. I think it's important that it's being reintroduced because we do not want to lose our language.
And Sarah wants to find her name, so she asks the elders for help.
When we first met her, the way she was saying it just didn't sound right. So Ruth and I had her saying the name over and over.
Shakely says that sometimes when a name is spelled, important sounds are left out.
They were taught how to say it like this, and maybe they couldn't pronounce the sounds that they heard either, and that changes the name completely. But we came who finally came across what we thought they meant.
Like her grandmother before her, her name is Berry Basket Daughter.
And now that I know what our name meant, it changed my life. And it almost broke my heart.
And she says knowing her name is only the beginning of learning her identity.
Kuksikyuha Duasak. 10 years of pronouncing it wrong. I was at the point of thinking this is something that might not ever be found, and then to go to culture camp and find it. All that searching's done, what do I do now? I figure out the rest of myself. I figure out my lineage. I figure out how to speak it and how to be it.
I heard that we'll never not be anything than who we are, Tlingit people. It will never go away.
Virginia Oliver says experiences like this culture camp strengthen a community as a whole. Through the camp, she and the elders have created a Tlingit phrase of the week to air on the radio in Wrangell. Demert says she thinks the future now holds promise.
You know, our culture will survive if the language is included. We feel that this is really important.
And she hopes it will only get stronger with each generation to come. Reporting in Wrangell, Askutu, Chik I, Yuhatduasak. Or in English, I'm Shady Grove Oliver.
And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or you'd like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. Now here's a look at Sitka Zone weather. It is currently 57 degrees downtown Sitka, and today it's going to be mostly cloudy with patchy fog in the morning, isolated showers with highs around 62. Tonight, mostly cloudy with isolated showers, lows around 52. And Wednesday, showers likely with highs around 59. KCAW, Sitka.